In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I've been a CNN junkie for a lot of years, and would tell you too many years. And I'm still a person who subscribes to the newspaper, the New York Times, the Baltimore Sun. But watching or reading the news these days has become depressing. I've always liked that part of St. Paul's letter that TJ read from earlier, when St. Paul talks to the young Christians living at Philippi, and he urges them to focus on whatever is true and whatever is honorable and whatever is pure and whatever is pleasing and whatever is commendable. But more and more I'm finding that the stories that dominate the news are making me sad, even depressed, sometimes angry. Maybe some of you feel the same way these days. Furthermore, most of us have our own personal struggles at home. If not in our office, it's struggles that may include finances, or health issues, or family problems, or relationship problems. Some of us turn to our faith for answers. But answers don't come very easily, a lot of days. Maybe the questions have simply gotten harder and harder. What are people like us to do in the midst of the overwhelming violence that is pervading our nation right now, our beloved country, and the violence that's on so many corners in Baltimore this summer? Some of my New York friends asked me on the morning of 9/11 what Jesus was doing when those towers fell and so many people fell with them. Oh, I could say that morning I pictured Jesus down on his knees with his head in his hands, crying his eyes out for every man and every woman who was dying in the horror of that day. And for all the families and all the friends of the men and women, the office people and all the first responders who were lost in those hours of that Tuesday morning. The shortest verse in the Bible that Deacon Sherma just read says, Jesus cried. Jesus cried. That has tremendous significance, especially when we need some hope from somewhere. Jesus cries with his dear friends Mary and Martha because their brother just died. Their brother, who was Jesus' good friend. Jesus had come to their home. And before saying anything, Jesus got down on his knees and put his hands over his face. And Jesus cried because they told him their brother had died. Jesus cried because he felt the pain of those friends of his. Jesus cried because he cared about what that family was going through. You and I need to share with people out there who are hurting from all the shooting and killing that's going on, that the God that we have come to know inside this place, the God we come here, some of us on Sundays, The God that we come here on Wednesdays to get close to. The God we come to know in Jesus Christ. The God we call our Savior feels other people's pain. And He understands when we lose someone we care about. With every mass shooting in the United States comes the renewed fear of another. Do you know that right now, at this very hour, as we gather in this place, there is an active, ongoing shooting at Temple University in the city of Philadelphia where several police officers have already been shot? Father Michael said it was emotionally hard and heartbreaking to tell families in El Paso the news they did not want to hear. But he felt it was important to be there with those people representing the Savior. He said, in the darkest moments of their lives, I needed to be with them. Because that's what followers of Christ do. He says, I'm trying to be strong because I have a God who is strong. A woman who's lived her whole life in El Paso wrote to the El Paso Times this past week. And she said this: in the hours after the latest attack of evil on innocent people, I wandered around my house for several hours that morning, asking myself if the shooting in my hometown was just another part of the reality of living in the 21st century. Then on Sunday, I woke up to the news of yet another deadly shooting, that time in Dayton, Ohio. And I knew in that moment that for me it was time to get to church, a place I had not visited in 10 years. A decade. So I went to Grace Church in the neighborhood where I lived and in the neighborhood near that store where the El Paso shooter grew up and apparently learned to hate. She said the pastor started the service with the ancient words, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. The sermon that he had planned weeks before was listed in the bulletin, and the title was this: Belief That Doesn't Break Down Under Real World Pressures. Well, she said he shared just part of that sermon, just part of it. And then he allowed people to ask questions or to stand up and make statements that morning. And one man asked, how do we get the conversation from in here out there onto the streets? And another man talked eloquently about how too many young white males live with nothing but the TV and computer screen in front of them all day long. And they get violent messages from those screens. A stranger rose and said, people who live in isolation turn to desperation. And people who are desperate have little regard for life. A woman said she comes to church nearly every Sunday, but she didn't want to leave her house that morning. And then she ended her letter to the El Paso Times, saying we have to pay attention to people out there around us because brokenness and need are everywhere right out there, right now. We have to stop building walls around our hearts, she said. And then the last line she wrote, she said, it's a spiritual thing. In the evening gospel, the story about Lazarus doesn't end with him dead. At his grave, Jesus calls Lazarus' name. And as the crowd that had gathered in the cemetery all around that day watches, as the crowd watches in disbelief, Lazarus comes out from his grave. Well, Mary and Martha thought that Jesus was too late to help. In that historic moment, the world learned that there's never a too late with God. It's never too late with God. We may think that a solution to the shootings in our country and in this city of ours is hopeless. We may not have a clue right now how to stop them. Or it wouldn't be happening again in this hour in Philadelphia on that college campus. But I'm here this evening to tell you that with Jesus Christ in our lives, we still have hope. There's always the possibility of a better day. Not just out there in the by and by, but a better day in this life. That was the whole point of Jesus' resurrection. So as you come forward this evening to receive the Holy Communion, I invite you to stop on either side in the front of the church and light a candle in memory of all the people who have been innocent victims of violence in our country lately. And help make the light of Christ grow in this place, and then from this place, and then return to your pew and pray to an end for this awful violence. Amen.